תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends.
בורא עולם.
Creator of the world. Thank you for allowing us to continue the work of the great Kabbalists.
עזור לנו לגלות אותך בקרבנו.
Help us reveal you among us.
תן לנו להרגיש הערה.
Let us feel radiant and confident.
עזור לנו להרגיש את לבבות.
Help us to feel the hearts of the friends in one heart.
תעורר בנו דאגה לחיות.
Awaken within us concern for connection and love between us and through us with you.
כן, מה מיוחד?
Yes.
במעבר.
What is special about the transition? Even though not everyone and not yet, we're not yet in the transition, just studying about it, approaching it. But still, we have to try and envision it. What needs to change within us so that we cross through this border, which is a very unique thing, from lo lishma to lishma? It's when a change of perception of reality happens in the person, in the sensation of reality, in the place of the Creator who fills all of man's environment, and He orchestrates everything and determines everything in man's life, thoughts, desires, that He's in everything, and other than Him there's nothing, none else besides Him. So how do we move from the state we're in today, in a perception of reality where there are many causes and we too are somehow shaping reality according to our thoughts, desires, actions? How do we move to a state where we discover that everything is the Creator, that He fulfills the entire world, all of reality, and only His will, His desire, His attitude, only He does everything and fills everything, and we exist within Him, meaning that our entire work comes to a point where in each and every step, in each and every action, even thought, everything that happens within us and between us, we discover that in all works the upper force. Discover that more and more, and we as if make room for the Creator. And that's how we discover the true upper reality.
Excerpt number 15 from Baal HaSulam. The impression that comes to a person when engaging in mitzvot between man and the Creator is completely the same as the impression he gets when engaging in mitzvot between man and man. Since one is obliged to perform all the mitzvot lishma, without any hope for self-love, meaning that no light or hope returns to him through his trouble in the form of reward or honor, etc. Here, at this exalted point, the love of the Creator and the love of his friend unite and actually become one.
Meaning that the person in all his actions, in thought, speech, action, he feels he has to continue the actions of the Creator, that he fulfills the world and shapes the world, and everything that happens is only the Creator. And man only as if makes room from his ego, from his thoughts, from his desires. And then that place is filled with the Creator, with the actions and desire of the Creator only. So, in order to allow us to make room to restrict ourselves and make room for the Creator to show himself in all of reality towards the person. So for that we have to do our spiritual work, meaning to restrict our will to receive and depict the Creator that fulfills everything and shapes everything, and there's none else besides him. And that is basically what our work should be the whole day. Meaning, as long as we are conscious that we exist, we have to make room for the Creator. And then our ego is restricted and makes room for the Creator to appear. This is what we have to do. Questions?
How does a person free a place in his heart? Make room in his heart?
He has to feel his heart, what the heart is drawn to, what it's moving towards, aiming towards, and try to see in all these actions, all these states, that the Creator fills everything, that the force of bestowal, love, connection comes instead of what a person thought before, that he wanted to determine the way the world works.
And another question, how does a person awaken his heart to that feeling of impression that he talks about?
I think the best thing here is that one shall help his friend. We won't be able to do it alone. There has to be some group, collective, global effort as much as possible from all our groups around the world, that we want that wherever I can depict reality to myself that we exist in, that it all is filled by the upper force, the Creator's force. And the Creator's force is connection and love. Each and everyone's annulment towards the others. And so as we feel this field, this is called the field that has been blessed by the Creator, then we will begin to reveal it more and more as existence between us, filling up the space between us, connecting us.
I wanted to ask, what does the restriction that needs to be performed on a person depend upon?
The restriction is that I restrict myself, my natural attitude, and instead of that, I crown the Creator as fulfilling everything and surrounding everything.
But why can't there be Creator in reality without restriction?
Because I'm filling up the world, my ego, that is. If I right now feel reality, the world, humanity, doesn't matter what it is, then I am filling up the world. I am depicting to myself what is my 10, what is our group, what is humanity in general. I'm shaping that. And if I take myself out of determining the form of reality, then instead of that, I have to bring the 10 and the Creator that fulfills it.
So what does it mean that the Creator fills reality?
That love, connection, bestowal fill up all of reality. And what I think of as the opposite, because my ego depicts a different reality to me, which we are used to, all of that is because I relate this way to reality. And I want to determine a new kind of relationship.
But what is the action that needs to happen so that this restriction will take place upon you for the Creator to fill reality for you?
I want to stop the action of my will to receive on the world, on both myself and the 10 and our general group and all of humanity, that I don't relate to them through my ego in a natural way, the way I do it instinctively, and I rather really want to crown the Creator as the King of the world, meaning that the force of bestowal, connection, instead of the ego that would prevail before, now this is the force that is very limited.
So, last question. So, the restriction, what does it actually bring us? It brings us the ability to change the vessel of perception. What does it bring us, the restriction?
The restriction gives us a new governance. The Creator, the force of love, connection, bestowal, it begins to enter the entire world and fills up all the places that were beforehand fulfilled by many foreign thoughts, desires that each wanted to control, and now only
yes. Rav, this action of restriction seems to have stages. It's not happens at once.
Right. correct. We have to understand that what we are doing in general is as a result of the Creator's influence over us. And we carry out His instructions, His desires, that I now have a new desire, a new thought, new movement, and it all comes to me from the Creator. And I try to digest it, recognize it, and continue on my own, meaning there is something here that comes from the Creator to me. And there's also what I continue from myself by thinking about what happens and organizing things, clothing what I receive from above in my thoughts and feelings, and that's how I continue towards the 10 and the entire.
Да, вот как раз когда я пытаюсь вот это свойство любви построить в десятке, как я его потом продолжаю на всю остальную группу, на весь мир? И что значит, что я его продолжаю?
When I try to build the quality of love inside the ten, how do I then extend that quality to the whole group and to the whole world?
That actually is not so much of a problem. If I can perceive my relation to the ten, that I want everyone to be connected in a single thought, single desire, single action, to see before us a single reality, which is the Creator, and we identify with Him, and we want to determine on to ourselves only the actions that He will set for us, and that He will accompany us and guide us and govern us. So when we make such an effort in the ten, then each of the ten can depict these things as happening in the entire world.
What does it mean that the Creator accompanies us?
The Creator accompanies us all the time. But now, in our forces, we want to carry it out, to hold Him, to increase Him in our eyes. That living God will grow.
Where do I emphasize my effort? In diminishing myself or making the Creator greater?
There are actions that determine each other. When I make the Creator great, by that I respectively diminish myself, or vice versa. And more than that happens in the group action. When we in the group try to determine such a relationship between us, that we are shaping the Creator, as it says, you have made me, that we build the Creator through the connection between us. that the kind of connection, the intensity and character of connection between us will be as the Creator. And the Creator is firstly love, connection, annulment, mutual annulment of each one towards the others. So the more we make room from our ego and rise above it and wish to connect between us above this annulment of the ego, by that we let the Creator, give the Creator an opportunity to be revealed. We revealed Him. This is called You Have Made Me, that by that we literally build a certain space between us where the quality of Question. According to the text, he says that making the commandments and connecting to the friends and connecting to the Creator is the same. Yes. Then he says that in both cases, you should not have any hope for anything in return to yourself. Rav, meaning that you benefit from it, yes. And so this is described as lishma, the highest state, right? How does it coincide with the state of receiving in order to bestow, which is also the highest state? Ultimately, we have to receive in order to bestow. Correct. So according to what he says here, we don't receive anything. Rav, in the meantime, that's how it is. That's the first stage, that I don't receive anything to myself. After I clean myself from receiving, which is for my benefit, then I can begin planning the actions that I am connecting, connecting to others in order to bestow to the Creator. Again, what did you say? According to what's written, lishma means I have nothing that I receive for myself. And lishma is described as the highest state, the final correction. Well, let's say so. Lishma is a condition. Okay, in parallel, we learn that receiving in order to bestow is the highest degree the created being achieves. Rav, receiving in order to bestow is higher than bestowing in order to bestow. Receiving in order to bestow is higher than lishma? No, lishma means that I work not for myself but for the others. And this can be through an action through the group and towards the Creator. This is called lishma. Yes. If there was a table of lishma and receiving in order to bestow would be on the same height, lishma includes in it all kinds of actions of bestowal. Lishma means l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, for the Creator's sake, for the sake of connection between everyone, if we're talking about how it is in practice between us, how we do it.
What do we receive in lishma?
In lishma, we receive pleasure from bestowing to the Creator. Because we can't work without receiving pleasure. We're working with our desire. The desire does not dissolve. And then we come to a state where I do work towards the 10, our general group or the world. And thus we to receive his bestowal.
So I'm asking, how do you do an act of spiritual reception in the ten?
Spiritual reception in the ten, that I feel the desire of the friends, and I do what they want. That's it. They want me to receive from them a portion of pleasure, so I nullify myself from wanting this pleasure for myself, and I transition that to a form where I do it only for them.
So Ilan prepared something for me to eat, so I need to receive what he is giving me to do some calculation that now I will eat what he prepared for me, not because I want it, because he prepared it, but I do want to use my will to receive. I want to enjoy.
Of course, without it, you can't enjoy, and that therefore can't bring joy to Ilan. If you don't enjoy, you don't bring joy to him.
You said that when you do this action of trying to bestow during the act of bestowal, then the food has no flavor.
Yes, with the food itself, you can reach a state where it's tasteless. Yes.
And this, as much as you can depict or imagine, then receive in order to bestow?
No, that's a transition. That we begin to do something in order to bestow, then we can eat the tastiest thing in reality and feel no taste in it, because the will to receive from there disappears. I want to cancel the will to receive. I want to make it only in order to bestow. And if I depict that I do it only in order to bestow to the others, and the others are not yet connected to me, I don't use their vessels, but only my vessels. And in my vessels, I nullify the reception of pleasure, then I don't enjoy the food at all. I feel it like a... Yes, Danny.
There are very special moments where the work in connection with the friends and the work with the Creator seems like the same. And there's moments where the work with the Creator has one flavor and the work with the friends has a different flavor. So in those moments, does it come to show me that I'm not in wholeness, or maybe I'm actually needing to taste on purpose those two tastes to work with them somehow?
Yes, you have to taste both in order. Try to keep going with that state forward.
Okay, so another small question. How, in order to receive forces, we also use the thought of the greatness of the Creator?
Yes.
Where does this record exist in me from, this thought of the greatness of the Creator? Where do I get that from? How do I develop a thought of the greatness of the Creator?
Wherever you get it from, it doesn't matter to you right now.
How do we develop the thought of the greatness of the Creator?
You want to rise to the degree of where it comes to you from, and that doesn't belong to you.
I'm constantly searching for forces to perform actions
in order to control them, to know them and control them, and that's the incorrect form.
So I need to search for forces to do something, right? So I'm asking about that.
You're not asking about that.
Right, you're correct. So I changed my attitude here. How do I ask for them, those forces, to develop the thought of the greatness of the Creator?
Annul yourself and imagine the Creator fulfill.
Hello. We are the desire to receive with the intention in order to receive. If I understand correctly, in Lishma, it is in order to bestow. Now, the pleasure that we receive before the transition to Lishma, if I understand correctly, is from the intention in order to receive, and then the desire doesn't change, only the intention. So the pleasure takes place from the pleasure from in order to bestow?
Yes.
Meaning that the pleasure, the delight, is actually inside the intention itself?
Yes.
So
what exactly is this state of to bestow in order to bestow?
That I only wish to bestow and not receive any result in my vessels of reception.
Is there
in Lo Lishma the state of to receive in order to receive, to bestow in order to receive? We understand that. But then we come into that state of bestowing in order to bestow. But how could there be a reality of bestowing in order to bestow? What does it mean? After all, the will to receive is the only thing that a person has.
So, of course, I'm always working with the will to receive.
So what does it mean that it is to bestow in order to bestow?
Meaning that I don't want to receive in my will to receive any response. Any response from our...
We learn that practically we need to exert in making actions of bestow, even if the intention is not correct, but to try and make these acts of bestow in the group.
This is very useful. Very help us get to know ourselves.
Yes, so my question is, why is it like that? Because according to the schematic, the advancement needs to be first through restriction, and only after that we perform acts of bestow. So why don't we exercise restriction? Why do we exercise immediately bestow?
Because still on the way there, you're going to have to make the action of restriction over the will to receive for itself and to aim that towards the benefit of the friend.
So that's my question. Why, when we drill these things, we talk about that we're doing acts of bestow and we're not drilling actions of restriction, first of all?
We don't talk about the tzimtzum because we want to move from the action of reception to the action of bestowal. And the fact that in the middle we have to stop ourselves from the previous action in order to receive, that is. So now we have to move to an action of in order to bestow. And on the way there, of course, there's an inversion in our intention of who do we work for. But we're still not so much found in highlighting this difference.
Bokertov Rav.
Good morning, Rav. How do I work in the 10 without any benefit or pleasure in my will to receive?
Well, that is our work. Until through our efforts we receive an illumination from above, and it gives us the possibility to bestow to one another, to work above the will to receive. This is to the extent in which the friend, in some action, will be more for me than I myself am. So it turns out that I do everything for him. The calculation must be realistic. So we need to try to see each friend more and more from day to day in our eyes.
Thank you. What's in the action of greatness that a person does?
In an action of greatness? What's an action of greatness?
That he has to make the creator's great, the creator great, and the friend's great, the ten. What's in this action?
That he makes it grander in his eyes, he makes the creator and the friends greater in his eyes, and can then bestow to them more. And that bestowal will be inscribed in him as reception.
This is exactly the point that's not perceived. How is this action considered reception?
It's because they're great in his eyes, and bestowal to a great one brings pleasure.
I don't to say they're great, I can say. To say the Creator is great, I can say.
No, you can't say. If you don't feel this action, then you're just saying words just like that.
How to feel that? How to work with that?
We need to work with them. Go to serve them. Go to do something for them. Try to serve them. And then you will see how the work towards them will become bestowal and pleasure.
If the friend serves the ten, serves the group, and says they're great, feels they're great, but can't receive the greatness from them, meaning that there's this action that's supposed to be mutual here. After you do this service, you need to receive this greatness in your emotion, mind.
That all depends on a person, to the extent in which he diminishes himself before the other. Then he can recognize the greatness of the other and to enjoy him, and to receive those vessels and bestow through them.
How does the ten exude greatness on the person? How can the ten exude greatness on the person?
That's in the accordance that he's willing for this, that he's adhered to them. They're even willing to bestow to him from their greatness, to show him something. But if he's not aims towards this, not on the same wave, he's not working on the same wave, then it won't work out for him to receive their greatness. Sign that he's not in that state, he's not great. You remember the example of Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma that was with his little tiny small students and nevertheless received from them great vessels and can rise with them to great degrees. So it doesn't depend on the greatness of the society, it depends on the appreciation of the society in the eyes of a person. If they have an inclination towards the purpose of creation, it really doesn't matter what level of the spiritual development they're in.
And how can we, as a ten, function towards the friend? How can we give him greatness? On the one hand, we feel his pain, and on...
Read this article together with him about Rabbi. Again,
our sages said, one should always engage in Torah, even in lo lishma. Since from lo lishma one comes to lishma. Therefore, when teaching the young, the women, and the uneducated, they are taught. to work only out of fear and to receive reward. Until they accumulate knowledge and gain wisdom, they are told that secret bit by bit. And are accustomed to that matter with ease, until they attain him and know him and serve him out of love. Self or not?
You need to perform an examination whether what's happening to you that gives you the forces to bestow is really the force to bestow to others and not through the others to oneself, to yourself in return. That's what you need to check. That's how it is.
В 15-м отрывке написано,
что человек
должен делать действия без надежды, что это к нему вернется в виде оплаты или уважения или подобного. Вот не нужно мне ни оплаты, ни уважения, ни подобного. Товарищи объединенными, что десятка товарищей объединяются и наслаждаются от этого, радуются, чувствуют вкусы.
Просто сама десятка наслаждается.
Да, я же не хочу для себя наслаждения, вот, то есть оплаты или уважения, а я хочу видеть, что товарищи объединяются и наслаждаются.
The question is, it says in item 15 that by man's labor he doesn't need any expectation of reward and something in exchange and so forth. What I want to see is the 10 becoming connected. Is that considered a reward, a payment?
Meaning that you see the 10 that is connected and is enjoying from being connected. And whether from your behalf, that's called lishma, or what?
If my aspiration is that the 10 will be connected, is that defined as a reward that I shouldn't aspire to if I want to be in lishma?
For you not to see the 10 is connected?
Is there a problem with wanting to see the 10 connected? Does that fall into the definition of reward, of expectation for some response?
It depends how you receive it. It depends how you receive the way you look at the 10, how you see it. If I see them connected and doesn't matter in what way it really is. If I see them connected and I enjoy the fact that it's connected, that could be reward.
Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol haosek batora lishma, זוכה לדברים הרבה. ולא עוד, אלא שכל העולם כולו, כדאי הוא לו. נקרא רע, אהוב, אוהב את המקום, אוהב את הבריות, משמח את המקום, משמח את הבריות.
Rabbi Meir says, whoever engages Torah for her sake is rewarded with many things. Moreover, he merits the whole world. He's called friend, beloved. He loves the Creator. He loves and he is loyal and righteous and pious, honest and faithful. He drives him away from sin and closer to merit. Counsel and sound wisdom, understanding and might benefit from him. As it was said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am Bina, Gvura is mine. It gives him kingship and rulership rulership, sharpness in judgment, and the secrets of the Torah are revealed to him, he becomes as an ever-flowing spring, as a river that never ceases. He is humble, patient, forgiving an insult, and it raises and elevates him above all the actions.
Okay.
Not much to scrutinize here in the spiritual work, but this is all for those who are in Lishma.
Seven, item 22, preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, item 22. Thus you see how the five levels of ten sefirot emerge through five kinds of coupling by striking of the screen applied to its five phases of coarseness. Now I shall tell you the reason, for it is known that light is not attained without a vessel. Also, you know that these five phases of coarseness come from the five phases of coarseness in phase four. Prior to the restriction, there were five vessels in phase four, clothing the ten sefirot, kachabtum. After the first restriction, they were incorporated in the five phases of the screen, which, along with the reflected light it elevates, return to being five vessels with respect to the reflected light on the ten sefirot, kachabtum, instead of the five vessels in phase four itself, prior to the restriction. Accordingly, it is clear that if a screen contains all these five levels of coarseness, it contains the five vessels to clothe the ten sefirot. But when it does not contain all five phases, since the coarseness of phase four is absent in it, it contains only four vessels. Hence, it can only clothe four lights,
chubtum,
and lacks one light, the light of keter, just as it lacks one vessel, the coarseness of phase four. Similarly, when it lacks phase three, two, and the screen contains only three phases of coarseness, meaning only up to phase two, it contains only three vessels. Thus, it can only clothe three lights, Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut. In that state, the level lacks the two lights, Keter and Chochmah, just as it lacks the two vessels, phase three and phase four. And when the screen contains only two phases of coarseness, that is, the root phase and phase one, it contains only two vessels. Hence, it clothes only two lights, the light of Tiferet and the light of Malchut. Thus, the level lacks the three lights, kachab, just as it lacks the three vessels, phase two, phase three, and phase four. When the screen has one phase of coarseness, which is only the root phase of the coarseness, It has only one vessel. Hence, it can clothe only one light, the light of Malchut. This level lacks the four lights, Kachab and Tiferet, as it lacks the four vessels, the coarseness of phase four, phase three, phase two, and phase one. Thus, the level of each partzuf depends precisely on the measure of coarseness in the screen. The screen of phase four elicits the level of Keter. Phase three elicits the level of Chokhmah. Phase two elicits the level of Bina. Phase one elicits the level of Tiferet, and the root phase elicits the level of Malchut. That's exactly what I want to ask. What is a coupling when striking in the ten? How does that action come into practice?
Coupling and striking means that we connect, but through striking of two opposite things, where naturally they are opposites, and in order to enter into bestowal, they have to enter a zivug, a coupling, a connection.
Can you say it even simpler so that people will understand, that I will understand? Let's say it simpler. We're sitting in the ten, and then how can I reach that coupling when striking that it's discussing? What do we do? What do we say? What's that coupling when striking? It seems like some kind of really high concept. Well, there's got to be something practical here. What can we do?
When we are in the 10, I feel how much I'm in opposition to each and every friend. I'm opposed. I don't feel like connecting with him and feeling him or taking him into consideration. If I nevertheless understand that there's no other choice but I have to connect with him, and specifically in the connection with him above my will to receive, that I wish to reject him. If I annul my will to receive and I wish to be connected with him, because in this way I can bestow contentment to the Creator, then already I am in collision with my egoistic will to receive. I must connect with a friend, though I don't feel like it, because according to my nature, how I was created, I'm not attracted to it. So I have to overcome my will to receive and approach the friend.
That's what I wanted to ask. Do we always manage to do a coupling with strike thing, or do we always fall there? What does it depend on?
We don't always succeed in making this coupling and striking, because we are will to receive, and the coupling is of the will to bestow. Hence, we don't really possess this tendency naturally.
So what can help me reach that point? I understand that it's very important, that it's a very important point. How can I reach a coupling when striking and not to escape from that situation, but to continue sitting there and not escape that situation? How can we do that?
This is a different kind of work. First of all, I have belief in the sages. I believe those people called Kabbalists who used to work for generations, and they left me a method. How how to get from my will to receive to a different will to receive that works differently in accordance with the Creator as a desire to bestow, and then to the extent that the Creator's desire and my desire to receive in order to bestow will become equal, I'll be able to feel the Creator and to perform mutual acts, reciprocal acts.
Meaning it's this incomplete condition, meaning if I fail to make a coupling when striking, is there reflected light or is there no reflected light? Meaning it's a necessary condition to raise the reflected light to a coupling with striking.
The minute I do anything against my will to receive, to the extent that I do anything against it, against my ego, I can already feel myself opposite to the upper light.
And then he writes that they return to being five vessels. So after the coupling went striking, they return to being five vessels. That's the whole thing that we talked about.
Then I get this opportunity to work with my five egoistic vessels in order to bestow. I don't know what you're talking about. The vessel decides that it wants to get rid of reception, no matter what, in everything. What will be afterwards is of no interest. I do not wish to remain in order to receive in the current state.
When does the new vessel reveal, which is the reflected light of the Kli, the vessel with the reflected light in it?
Only after it decides to remove himself from vessels of reception, it understands that he is now in an empty state, and this state can remain forever, for eternity, but he prefers that state to reception. Only after he made this calculation and he agreed to it in practice, the light departs and a new stage arrives.
In Shamati, there's an article where they say that they judge to a person where he is, where he needs to decide on a situation completely.
Yeah, all the way.
And even if he knows that he'll fall at some point, it doesn't matter. He has to decide now as if it's complete. That it's all adhesion with the Creator from here in with us.
No. Don't confuse us with your feelings. The vessel feels that it prefers to be empty forever, for eternity. Anything but to be the receiver.
Beseder.
Okay.
Maya Sham.
In this state where he's ready to concede everything, not receive anything, to be empty until the very end, what's his fuel?
It's not that it feels good or comfortable, convenient to be empty. It's like we say sometimes, I'm better off dead than alive. That's it, so I'm dead, I'll be dead. How do we imagine death? We won't feel anything. We leave whatever bad, negative feeling we have now, and later there will be no feeling. This is preferable to what we feel now. That's the calculation that we make. Because we don't understand what happens next. So it's not the same here. Rather, it wants to get rid of his will to receive. But he has no other choice but to stop using it. And that's what he's doing. And what happens next? I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm not making any calculations. I'm making only one calculation. I do not wish to receive.
We learn that the vessel is a deficiency. It's a very defined and clear desire. How could it be that a vessel of Keter receives a light which is apparently the light of Nefesh? What's the connection between the deficiency and the fulfillment?
You're correct. You want to say that? You want to say that the level of light, or the intensity of the light, or the kind of light, the type of light?
Everything. There's a lack of equivalence. The vessel needs to receive according to its deficiency.
Let's put it this way. You have five vessels. In each one of them, a light can appear. When the light appears, it needs to be at a certain level. The light that is revealed in Keter, in Chochmah, in Binah, in Zeranpin, in Malchut, those are five different lights. And what are they different? They differ, first of all, in their intensity. And additionally, let's say they differ in color, let's say. Let's say in the beginning the light appears in Keter, it's a white light. Then in Chochmah, it's red, let's say. Bina.
Segol.
It's purple. I'm just throwing out colors. In Zeon Pin, green light.
Or home, Naget.
And Malchut, brown light, let's say. So you have five vessels, and in them five lights appear. We learn that the light is actually the same light. It's like electricity that's running through five bulbs. So each light bulb is colored, is painted a different color. And that's why we see it in this way. But the light that passes through it is the same light. Same thing here. Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Zeran, Pin, Malchut are different vessels. The light that passes through them is the same light that appears differently in each one. So what are you asking about it?
In the beginning, Keter and Yechida had equivalents, right? Before the entrance of the lights into the vessels.
Yes.
Okay, so now, Keter and Yechida, they have equivalents. Afterward, later, the vessel of Keter, the deficiency of Keter, which should be the fulfillment of Yechida, suddenly receives Nefesh. How does that work out?
Because the light that enters into the vessel is the weakest light.
How does he agree to that? He wants something else completely. What's the fulfillment here?
Because the Malchut activates it in such a way that it's the smallest light, also in the smallest vessel. The Keter is also, for the time being, the smallest. But when Chochmah comes after the Keter, then you draw greater light. Then in Keter there's an additional light in order to pass part of it to Chochmah. In this way we see that the vessels grow, and accordingly the lights grow, until all of the light will enter the Malchut. And it will be non-chai.
Meaning the fulfillment is gradual and not final, meaning that Keter understands that I will receive nefesh even though I want yechida in my source.
Let's put it this way.
And I do it with the knowledge that it's not the end of the path, but there's still more that I need to go through.
It's the maximum level of bestowal it can be in. Each and every part of the Partsuf wants to bestow as much as possible, as much as it can, according to others. It's like a group. That's what happens. I wish to receive now the light of Nefesh. Why? I have no more. Why don't I have any more? I have no one to bestow to. So what I can receive is only the light of Nefesh. When I will have more to bestow to, I'll be happy to receive more. And then I'll receive the light of Ruach. And I'll bestow what I can down below me, the light of Nefesh. And that's how it works, one by one. Think about it, please. I'm willing to... We don't need to rush through this.
Continuing, Shai, can we say this? That there is no such thing as the light of Ruach if there was no entrance of the light of Nefesh, meaning the existence of Nefesh allows the condition that there will be the light of Ruach. Meaning right. There is no light of Ruach, a concept of it in and of itself. There's no contact there.
Correct. It can't be that the light of Ruach will be revealed unless the light of Nefesh will be revealed before it, will be ready for it.
If I understand correctly, then in the reception in the beginning before the restriction, the light is received according to the vessel's desire.
Yes, the way he created the vessel thus received.
And after the restriction, the light is received according to the landlord's desire.
After the restriction, the vessel receives according to the desire of the host.
And then it continues and grows. Why do the vessels before and after the restriction, are they called by the same names? Because there it's a different desire. Here it's the desire of the receiver, and there it's the desire of the host.
But he wants to equate his desire with the host's desire. What would you do?
We simply call them two desires.
But they equalize. If the host wants to give me a bowl of soup, I also develop a desire for that bowl of soup.
But why do I call the desire by the same name that I called it in its original vessel and not in the vessel that where it becomes equivalent with the host? Because it makes its desire equivalent to the host. It's not the contrary to the host anymore.
We give the vessel desire according to what he wants to receive. Vessel for the light of Nefesh, vessel for the light of Ruach. We have no more than that. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we only have lights and vessels.
Okay, I just thought that it was a different vessel. Because these vessels of the created being and those are vessels of the Creator. So, and it's as if we don't differentiate between them.
If they reach equivalence, that same form, the same reception, same bestowal, why do we need to name them differently?
Okay, so now.
Again.
Tap. Peace in the world.
Please.
Peace in the world. Scrutinies and inquiries concerning matters that cause absence of peace. suggestions of world reformers and testing them against reality. Observing the good that is founded on mercy and truth, justice and peace, as implied in the Book of Psalms.
Yes, this is a great problem, peace in the world. We see that as much as humanity develops, if you can really say that they progress, but it goes through times, through states, so the problem of peace in the world revealed as a greater and greater one. So how do we reach peace? Because once we could just finish ourselves off and that was it. It's a small planet. We are small. Our minds are small. Our egos are big. And if we could stop ourselves in the last moment before destruction.
Mercy and truth met. Justice and peace kissed. Truth will spring forth from the earth, and justice was reflected from heaven. The Lord too will give the food, the good, I'm sorry, and our land will yield its crop.
Yes, those are words of King David.
Everything is evaluated not by its appearance at a given moment, but according to its level of development. Everything in reality, good or bad, and even the most harmful in the world, has a right to exist and must not be destroyed and eradicated from the world. We must only mend and reform it because any observation of the work of creation is enough to teach us. Because any observation of the work of creation is enough to teach us about the greatness and perfection of its operator and creator. Therefore, we must understand and be very careful when casting a flaw on any item of creation, saying it is redundant and superfluous. So that would be slander, as that would be slander about its operator. It is common knowledge that the Creator did not complete creation when He created it. And we can see in every corner of reality, in the general and in the particular, that it abides by laws of gradual development, from absence to completion of growth. For this reason, when the fruit tastes bitter in the beginning of its growth, we do not consider it a flaw in the fruit, since we all know the reason. The fruit has not completed its development. So it is in every element of reality. When an element seems to us as bad and harmful, it is but a self-testimony of that element, that it is still in a transition phase in the process of its development. Hence, we must not decide that it is bad and it is not wise for us to cast a flaw in it.